TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. The Soul of Soil, John Jevons. This is part of a TUC Radio mini-series on soil, a response to the devastating forest fires in California in 2018. You actually may be able to hear the first rains falling on the roof of my cabin as I'm recording this. So welcome after a long fire-threatened summer. The TUC radio series was inspired by the speakers on the underground life in the wild soils and the forest, such as Paul Stamets, Suzanne Simard, Peter Wohlleben, and Dennis Martinez. The most recent talk by Vandana Shiva was entitled Soil, Not Oil. She addressed the intentional poisoning of our farm soils with fossil fuel fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides, all this leading to a loss of farmland so serious that research indicates that we only have 60 or less harvests left before the soils we depend on for our food are poisoned and eroded. John Jevons is a master farmer, educator, researcher, author, and director of the nonprofit Ecology Action. He has spent the last 43 years developing and teaching a way of farming and gardening that is free from fossil fuel chemicals, and instead of depleting the soils to grow food, is actually enhancing and building the soil. When I first met him at KPFA Radio in Berkeley 30 years ago, he made the organic farmers uncomfortable by suggesting that they were still not sustainable as long as they imported huge quantities of compost from somewhere else. John Jevons gave me permission to read his essay, Soul of Soil, for you. However, I want to start by giving you a sense of his voice and presence by letting you hear the opening minutes of his keynote at the 2015 annual Moses Organic Farming Conference in Wisconsin on the banks of the Mississippi River.
You're going to hear a lot of amazing things this afternoon. And I want you to know when you hear some of them that you don't believe or don't want to hear, that I wouldn't be sharing them if I didn't know there was an answer. And especially, I want you to know that you're the answer. Each one of us, we can make all the difference in the world, individually and together. So I'm going to begin with an example. It's an apple. This apple represents the planet Earth. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to cut away 3/4 of this apple and I'm going to discard it, I hope. Problem is these organic apples hold together much better. So that's the Earth's oceans. And I need you to know that there are 15 fisheries in the world's oceans, and 5 of them are virtually non-productive, and the other 10 will be non-productive very soon. In the Antarctic Ocean, the phytoplankton that help produce oxygen for us are decreasing at a rapid rate for many different reasons. The Amazon rainforest, compared with 40 years ago, about 2/3 of it's been cut down, and it used to produce up to 20% of the oxygen in the Earth's atmosphere. But what's really important here is this remaining quarter of the Earth. It's the Earth that you work in, that you are, and that we come from. Now, in order to bring things sort of up to date in NASA real-time data, we need to cut away 2/3 of the remaining part of the Earth and discard it, because that's the Earth's desertified area and or it's under ice. So really, we are only living on about 1/12 of the earth in terms of food, but are we? Actually, we have to cut away now 2/3 of the skin of this remaining 1/12 of the planet. And so really, the food that we eat is obtained from 4% of the planet Earth. And you may be wondering, well, what's going to happen? I hope you're wondering. The Scientific American, December 15th, 2014, said that there's only 60 years worth of farmable soil left in the world. I say that it may be actually as low as 29 years. In the next 29 years, it's going to disappear like this. And it doesn't matter what kind of diet you have a whole lot, because even if all the United States were eating a vegan diet, and you can make a case for that, we would only have 30.5 years of farmable soil left in the world. So what can we do about that? A lot. If you want to predict the future, create it. I want you to realize that we're each creators. We don't have to wait to see what's going to happen. We can shape it. We're artists. We're creative. So one of the ways that we're going to do this is by insourcing our solution. We're outsourcing everything, our food, our energy, but actually, politicians, business people, agribusiness, academicians are not going to be able to take care and help create in a major way our future for us. Each one of us is going to have to do most of that. We're it. Now, this is what happened to me, is I had a question back in the early 1970s. I wanted to know, what's the smallest area that you can grow all your food, clothing, and money on in an environmentally sound way, in an equitable way, so if everyone does it, everyone could live well. So I went to the San Joaquin Valley, the Central Valley in California, which was providing 30% of all the food for the United States at the time. And I asked this question of agronomists and of farmers, and they said, well, we don't know, but if you grow 1,000 acres of wheat and it's a good year, you'll be able to pay your bills. So I learned 3 things from this. I learned that farming wasn't working economically, and for the average farmer today, it isn't either. They're only earning about 25% of their income on the farm, the average farmer. I learned that they didn't know the answer. And the third thing that I learned was tag. I was it. If I wanted to know the answer to the question, I had to find it.
You heard the opening minutes of the keynote by John Jevons at the annual Moses Organic Farming Conference. You can find the full talk on YouTube. This by way of introduction to my reading of his essay, Soul of Soil. I am just beginning, awed by the soil, its life, wonderful smell, crumbly texture, the vitality that has grown in and from it. Life-giving weeds that build up root organic matter and minerals from deep in the soil, concentrating nutrients in themselves with food and medicinal properties to nurture us all. What a privilege it is to nurture it. When minerals are depleted, nettles move in, build up the soil, then move on 40 years later, after they have replenished the soil's essence. Bushes, trees, vegetables, fruit, grains, and beans thrive. Why? Microbes. Billions of life forms in a tablespoonful of compost. Almost as many in one as their people on the earth. May the force be with us. Biologically intensive cultivation, civilization really is a dynamic, thriving, living dance. Let's participate. North Africa was the granary for Rome until it was overfarmed. The Sahara Desert, a forest until it was overcut. Who really thinks healthy life can be grown with poisons? Gandhi, in response to being asked, "What do you think about Western civilization?" replied, "It would be a good idea." Food growing is too much work, you say. 10,000 years ago in northern Iran, the people in its early Stone Age culture grew virtually all their calories with the original spelt wheat in an average of 3.7 minutes a day. The Philippine Hanano Stone Age culture is considered illiterate by our civilization. Yet they grow all their food in a 5-year rotation comprised of 200 crops, including 40 different varieties of rice, so that no matter what the weather, too hot or too cold or wet or dry, they grow sufficient calories. Looked at from this perspective, the Hananu are simply a different kind of literate, farming literate. Until the 1950s, the Chinese considered their farmers to be living libraries. Truly skilled farmers with real connections to the land know more than 4 millennia of experience, school experience, the growing experience in their current lives. They know in their hands, hearts, and senses. This is knowledge that is available to all of us if we seek it. We can become living libraries too. The Mayan culture, 1,000 years ago, thrived when civilizations around it disappeared. Their civilization was based on biologically intensive neighborhood food growing, the original food localization movement. Soon, most people will only have 4,500 square feet per person on which to grow their sustenance. Alan Chadwick, my mentor, said the most important thing to consider is the direction in which we are going, not where we are. Right now, the direction we're going is not one most of us want to take. 50% of Africa is already on starvation track. Since 2013, 50% of the people living in Mexico are spending 70% of their disposable income on food, only getting a third of their calories each day. The United Nations FAO indicates that in 10 years, two-thirds of the world population, 5.5 billion people, may well not have the necessary water to grow a sufficient diet, and many of them will have no food at all. We can change direction. Biologically intensive food growing can grow sufficient food for a complete diet annually on as little as 1,000 square feet with 33% of the water, while if used properly, growing soil up to 60 times faster than in nature in as little as 50 years. During this build-up time, food and compost materials can be produced as well. We need to grow soil now. It is the basis upon which we all depend. Making the most of your resources means working smarter, not harder. In another example, in a biologically intensive living soil system, up to 100% of all added nutrients may be utilized. In comparison with conventional practices, they generally use only 15% of the added nitrogen. Composting grows soil and recycles many of the nutrients, so you don't have to keep adding them. Why work harder, use more resources, more of the earth, when you can think smarter? Biologically intensive soil growing can be skill intensive and does not need to be work intensive. goals: grow oneself, grow intuition, grow experience. Community, an important form of sustainability: grow life. For example, compared with 10,000 years ago, there are only 11% of the trees left on the earth in biomass terms. When only 67% were left, the skin of the earth began to die. Yet, if each person in the world plants or causes to be planted just 20 trees a year for 5 years, for a total of 100 trees per person, and makes sure they're nourished to maturity, we will have as many trees on earth in biomass terms as were here 10 millennia ago. It is possible. And once we're doing the above, we can create and grow a new breadth and depth of living, dynamic, thriving mini ecosystems that together make up an entire, wonderfully beautiful and enhanced living Earth. We have specific programs designed to build this vision through grain and vegetable seed conservation, tree planting, soil building, middle school education, and university-level education and training. Each of us can be part of the solution. For more information about these personal proactive initiatives, see www.thesustainabilityfund.org. You're listening to my reading of Soul of Soil by Master Farmer John Jevons. The Industrial Revolution is based on fire, and we are burning up the planet. Henry David Thoreau said, "As you simplify your life, the laws of the universe will be simpler. Solitude will not be solitude. Poverty will not be poverty. Nor weakness weakness. In silence you can hear more." End quote. It is time to listen. We can choose to work with the most powerful energy source on the earth, photosynthesis. Let's take the green path. It provides a balanced, reasonable planetary temperature. In fact, properly applied, it can be the solution to climate change. Gandhi said, "Our greatness lies not so much in being able to remake the world as in being able to remake ourselves." End quote. We need to experience this life-giving force. As we heal ourselves, so also the planet will consist of thriving, resilient, sustainable mini ecosystems. Be the first neighborhood in your area to have one. A mini farming society, or any food-growing civilization, requires 6 inches of farmable soil to thrive. Soil that deep worldwide would take 3,000 years to grow. With biologically intensive practices, this can be accomplished in as little as 50 years. There may be as little as 29 years of farmable soil remaining on the earth. Let's begin now. To become really good takes time and observation while learning. Key things to do often get missed. Keep a sense of humor and perspective. An expert, after all, is just a person who has made a lot of mistakes over time and learned from them. Curiosity is the basis of learning. Stay curious. The Greeks placed all elements into the categories of earth, air, fire, and water. Biology teaches us that the most life occurs when these come together in harmonious proportions. And we can see for ourselves that such increased life occurs when these elements meet naturally, as happens along the margins of rivers, streams, lakes, ponds, and oceans. They are also brought together in biologically intensive growing beds, which have good soil structure. Soil structure is the way sand, silt, and clay hang together due to deep soil preparation, the growing of roots and root hairs, and the sticky threads put into the soil by microbial exudates. The living raised bed growing soil is the home for the controlling part of the plant, its roots. Scientists have learned that a 2-4% increase in root health can produce an increase in yield of 200-400%. In a 6-month growing season in a temperate growing region, a thoughtful individual can create a mini farm with 4,100 square foot beds that can produce a complete balanced diet for one person annually. In addition, it will produce carbon and nitrogen materials for compost sufficient to build up and maintain the soil fertility for this size growing area almost indefinitely. Using both one's heart and mind together, you can hone the concept of a mini farm into a tiny farm. A person may well produce a functional 10-bed design to grow food and soil for a temperate region with a 6-month growing season and as little as a 5-bed design for a tropical region with a 12-month growing season. We at Ecology Action are doing this heart and mind farming design too. To determine most quickly how to grow your heart and mind diet in the smallest area with a daily weight to eat that you can consume comfortably, choose your crops according to the following crop types and area proportions. 60% carbon and calorie crops, mainly hot and cold weather grains. 30% high calorie root crops, potatoes, sweet potato, leeks, parsnips, Jerusalem artichoke, burdock, and garlic. 10% vegetables and soft fruits. Other proportions can work for the two goals, but these are the easiest to work with and provide the quickest results. Soil equals plant equals you. Grow a healthy soil. That soil will grow a healthy plant. And healthy plants consumed by people result in healthy people. Again, who thought you could grow life using poisons? May the life force be with you. Horticulture is a powerful way of connecting to the world. Alan Chadwick was in the British Navy during the Second World War. Freya von Moltke was the widow of a leader in the German resistance against Hitler. Her husband, Count Helmut von Moltke, was arrested, accused of treason, and executed. But before Helmut died, he sent word to his wife, requesting that she make a place where young people could learn about creation in a world of destruction. Freya met Chadwick in South Africa after the war, when Ellen was a gardener. Both had experienced a lot of death and destruction during the conflict. They were both looking for a way for peace to be created on the earth. They decided this could be best accomplished through horticulture and gardening, that as humankind breathed life back into the world's soils, this life would be breathed back into us. With von Moltke's encouragement, Chadwick made this his life's work. He arrived on the UC Santa Cruz campus with no official position. He simply began digging, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, on a steep and unpromising hillside of brush and poison oak. Within a year, he had transformed that hillside into a lush and abundant garden of flowers, vegetables, and fruit trees. Young people were drawn to this place of healing and connection with the life force of the earth to learn. Alan transformed his experience of pain and disconnection into one of joy by bringing the elements together in support of life. Each of us has the power to tap into that same transforming source of healing and connection wherever we have access to the soil. The world has reached a place of peak, farmable soil, water, farming nutrients, food, and even peace, as humankind has sought to dominate the natural world, the world upon which our lives depend. It is time to change the direction we are going. Living better, more simply, is the revolution we seek in our hearts. Farming is food, is life. Remember that the low-input approach works not only in the garden, but in our hearts and minds at all levels. Allow yourself to take up the nutrients of new knowledge at a healthy and balanced rate, growing all the time. Be patient with yourself as you grow into a living library. That was my reading of the essay by Master Farmer, educator, researcher, author, and director of the nonprofit Ecology Action, John Jevons. His Grow Bio-Intensive Sustainable Mini Farming Method is being used in 143 countries around the world and enables small farmers to increase yields, build fertile soil faster than nature, and use 66% less water per pound of food as compared with conventional practices. John Jevons believes that each person has the capacity to make a profound difference in the sustainability of our agriculture, and through it, our world, and that if we each learn to take care of our part of the earth, our garden, then we can change our situation from one of scarcity to abundance, of enough for everyone. For more information and a beautifully illustrated version of Soul of Soil, you can go online and search under johnjevons.org. Jevons is spelled J-E-A-V-O-N-S. Or come to tucradio.org. for the links on my website. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.